It's good to see your presence tonight. We've had a beautiful Lord's Day, and it's great that we can come together tonight and sing and pray and study God's Word. And we continue our series of lessons on the life of Paul and the third missionary journey. We've studied the first two missionary journeys that Paul took. This is the seventh lesson in this series. The third missionary journey is from 54 A.D. to 58 A.D. Our study is found in Acts, the 18th chapter, through Acts, the 21st chapter. The distance that Paul traveled on this third journey was between 2,800 and 3,000 miles. A lot of these miles were on a ship or a boat, and a lot of it was on land. So very difficult to travel, say, 1,000 miles or 2,000 miles on land. Took a lot of effort and a lot of time. We notice here his third journey. Between the first and the second journeys of Paul, there's an interval of about 2 years. And so he waited about 2 years to begin his second missionary journey after the first one, in which Paul spent a long time in Antioch, according to Acts 14:28. During which a visit to Jerusalem became necessary. We studied about his visit to Jerusalem, where the elders and the apostles were there and settled a matter concerning the law of Moses. Between the second and third journeys, Paul did not remain long at Antioch. He did spend some time there, according to Acts 18, verses 22 and 23. We don't know how long he was there before he began his third journey. But he soon departed, perhaps to fulfill a promise made to the Ephesians. In Acts 18, verses 19 through 21, Paul had promised the Ephesians that he would come back and visit with them again as soon as possible. And Paul starts with the regions of Asia Minor in the year 54 through 57 A.D. In Galatia and Phrygia, we notice that he went there strengthening the disciples. A lot of times Paul would go back to churches where he had helped to start and to encourage them and to strengthen them after their beginning. We notice here in Acts 18, verse 23, after he had spent some time there, he departed, went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. He was strengthening all the disciples. Of course, he was teaching them more about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He visited this area on his first journey, according to Acts 14th chapter, and he returned here on his second journey in Acts the 16th chapter. And so all three of his journeys were in this area, Galatia and Phrygia. Then Paul travels to Ephesus. He had briefly stopped there on his second journey. In Acts 18, verse 19 through 21, he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, "I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. But I will return again to you, God willing." And he sailed from Ephesus. And so here he enters the synagogue here, the Jewish synagogue in Ephesus, and he talks to them and studies with them the Word of God. And they ask him to stay a while longer, and he couldn't at this time. He needed to leave and go to Jerusalem for the feast. But he said he would return and come back to Ephesus. We notice that Paul converted 12 disciples of John the Baptist. They had been baptized with John's baptism. Apollos, who was an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, and he knew only the baptism of John, and he was preaching, and Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and taught him the way of God more perfectly. And we know that John's baptism was practiced, and it was good until the church was established. And it seems that these 12 had been baptized after the church had been established, and John's baptism was no longer in effect. We notice here in Acts 19, verses 1 through 5, says it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him in whom who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." And so these 12 had been baptized in John's baptism when it was not in force and not effective. And when they learned the truth, they were baptized again. And so this is an example: if a person has not been scripturally baptized, then they need to be baptized scripturally. Paul stayed at Ephesus about 3 years, teaching for 3 months in the synagogue. Now, 3 years is a pretty long time for the Apostle Paul to stay in one area. In Acts 19 and verse 8, says he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And so here these Jews in the synagogue were hearing the Apostle Paul reasoning and persuading concerning the kingdom, about the kingdom of the church and Jesus Christ. And he was teaching daily for 2 years in the school of Tyrannus. In Acts 19, verse 9 and 10, we notice here it says, "But when some were hardened," that is, when he was teaching in the synagogue, "and did not believe, spoke evil of the way before the multitude. And he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all who dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Gentiles." And so after he stopped teaching there in the synagogue, he taught in this called the school of Tyrannus for 2 years. And we know that many heard the gospel. All who dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Paul worked unusual miracles and had great success. Of course, Paul, being an apostle of Jesus Christ, had the power. Of course, God gave him the power to perform miracles. And here in Acts 19:11, it says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul." It said there that they could take handkerchiefs that Paul had and aprons, and they could touch those things and be healed of diseases. And so here was the power of God at work. This was proving that the Apostle Paul was from God. God was giving him this power. In Acts 19 and verse 20, says, "So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." The word of God grew mightily and prevailed here in Ephesus. Then Paul makes plans to leave Ephesus in Acts 19, verses 21 and 22. It says, "When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, 'After I've been there, I must also see Rome.' And so he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time." And so here Paul was making plans that he was going to leave Ephesus. It says he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem. And he was looking forward to the time when he could go to Rome. And Paul, while at Ephesus, writes the first letter to the Corinthians in the spring of 57 A.D., to correct them in sinful practices and false doctrine. We know the church at Corinth had a lot of problems. There was a man there that was guilty of fornication. There was division in the church, and there were many problems. And Paul wrote his first letter here while he was at Ephesus. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 5 through 8, This is what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. And so he was planning to take another trip to Corinth. We noticed here while he was still at Ephesus, the Diana incident. In Acts 19, verse 23 through 30, it says, about that time there arose a great commotion about the way, that is, about Christ and the church. And it says, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And so here Demetrius, a silversmith, was afraid that he and those who were making these shrines of Diana were going to lose money. Paul was preaching against idolatry and Diana and these things. They were afraid that Paul was going to interfere with the money they were making. It says, now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. When Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. And so Paul wanted to go into this place where this mob or this crowd was. They were crying out against Paul and crying out for Diana, this false god. And the town clerk talked to the people to settle them down, and he dismissed the assembly. And so they were disturbed, they were upset. They thought Paul was going to take away their livelihood by condemning idolatry. Paul leaves Ephesus, Acts 20 and verse 1. It says, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. And so here Paul hugs or embraces the disciples here. He was going to leave Ephesus. And the turmoil over Paul provides an opportune time to leave Ephesus. Yes, Paul could have been killed if he had remained there probably. And Paul heads toward Macedonia. At Troas, he finds an open door to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. But not finding Titus there, he continues on toward Macedonia, according to 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. The regions of Macedonia and Greece. Here he traveled in 57 to 58 AD in Macedonia and Greece. When Paul came to Macedonia, Titus came there, comforted Paul by telling him that the Corinthians had repented of their sins, according to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. And so Paul no doubt rejoiced in knowing that the Corinthians had repented of their sins and were trying to live according to God's law, be faithful to him. And Paul preaches throughout Macedonia. In Acts 20, verses 1 and 2, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to him, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece. He had preached in Macedonia on his second missionary journey, and he had established churches there in Macedonia. The church at Philippi, there's the Philippian jailer, and there was Lydia, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Berea. He'd helped to start these congregations, and he visits them again on this third missionary journey. The churches at Macedonia were generous in giving relief to the church in Jerusalem. Yes, they were willing to give themselves and give what they had to help other Christians. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5 about the Macedonians. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." And so here Paul is writing to the Corinthians, telling them about how the churches in Macedonia freely gave to help the poor saints. Yes, it says they first gave themselves to the Lord and they gave freely, even above their ability to give. Paul went to Achaia, Greece. He spent 3 months there, according to Acts 20, verses 2 and 3. It says, "Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece. He stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia." And so here again, he was 3 months here in this area. And he says the Jews plotted against him. No doubt they were going to try to kill him if they could. He decided to return through Macedonia. It included his third visit to Corinth. According to the 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 14, it says, "Now for the third time I am ready to come to you. I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." And so this would be the third time that he came to Corinth to help the church there. Here, while he was here, Paul wrote the letter to the Romans in 58 A.D. Of course, he told the Romans that he was ready to preach the gospel at Rome. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, tells the name of his companions at Corinth. Phoebe, Titus, Lucas, Jason, Sosthapater, Tertullus, Gaius, Erastus, Quartus were some of the members that he associated with there at Corinth. And Paul's plans for when he leaves Corinth, he plans to visit Rome and eventually Spain. But first he must go to Jerusalem with the contribution for the needy saints. We studied about his trip to Jerusalem. And here he must go to Jerusalem with the contribution for the needy saints. He writes this in Romans 15. After just 3 months, then Paul prepares to leave Corinth, head straight toward Syria on his way to Jerusalem. But circumstances demand a change in plans. From Corinth to Jerusalem in 58 A.D., by the way of Macedonia. So he returns back by the way of Macedonia. Paul's plan to sail straight to Syria was spoiled a plot against him. There were those who wanted to kill him. In Acts 20 and verse 3, "And stayed 3 months, and when the Jews plotted against him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia." Paul decides to go through Macedonia and he's joined by 7 companions here in Acts 20 and verse 4. "And Sopater and Abria accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of Thessalonians and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and Tychus and Trophimus of Asia. Here are some of the names of Christians that he associated with. These seven go on to wait for Paul at Troas, while Luke evidently joins Paul at Philippi and sails with him to Troas. In Acts 20, verse 5 and 6, these men going ahead waited for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. And so here they went to Troas, and they sailed away from Philippi, the days of unleavened bread, but they stayed there for 7 days, by way of Troas and Miletus. Paul and his companions assembled with the disciples at Troas. In Acts 20, verses 6 through 12, it says, "But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. And there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. As Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story, was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, said, 'Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him.'" And so here the Apostle Paul stayed there for 7 days so that he could worship with the church there. And he says that he was preaching there. He preached till midnight. And there were three stories, and this one young man, Eutychus, fell down these three stories, and they thought he was dead. It says, "Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted." And so Paul raised this man back to life. He had fallen that great distance, and he had died. After waiting 7 days, he stayed there. On the first day of the week, they assembled, they worshiped God, they broke bread. And Paul speaks till midnight in verse 7. Eutychus falls from the third story, presumably dead, and Paul reassures them otherwise. Paul breaks bread, talks until dawn, and then he departs. Paul goes to Miletus, where he meets with the Ephesian elders. Now, Ephesus is about 30 miles away from Miletus. He calls for the elders of Ephesus to come over. He wanted to talk to them. On the way to Miletus in Acts 20, verses 13 through 16, says, "Then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take Paul on board, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Asso, he took him on board and came to Melina. We sailed from there, and the next day came opposite Coas. The following day we arrived in Samos and stayed in Trogilium. The next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost." And here at Miletus, Paul talks to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, verse 17 through 22. "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus, call for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there." It says, "Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I'm innocent from the blood of all men, for I've not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And so Paul had preached, he said, the whole counsel of God. He is free, innocent of the blood of all men. That is, every opportunity he had, he was willing to preach to those who were lost the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he warns the elders of dangers within and without in Acts 20, verse 28 through 31. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves, to all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember, for the 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so here Paul is warning the elders of the church at Ephesus that he said, even among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. And he says for 3 years that he was there at Ephesus, he warned them night and day with tears. And so he was concerned about the Christians and the elders there at Ephesus. And Paul commends the elders to God and his word, reminding them of his own example. In Acts 20, verse 32 to 35, he says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so here he commends the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he tells us that he had labored with his own hands in helping to support himself, that he wasn't out for their silver or gold or anything from them. Paul's parting prayer and great sorrow in Acts 20, 36 through 38. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. And so they were touched with the words of Paul. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. He might be killed, he might be put to death, and they might not see him again. By way of Tyre and Caesarea, sailing to Kos, Rhodes, Patara, catching a ship on the way to Phoenicia, according to Acts 21. Verses 1 and 2. And passing through Cyprus, sailing to Syria, landing at Tyre. In Acts 21, verses 3 through 6, it says, when he had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. And when he had come to the end of those days, we departed, went on our way. They all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city. We knelt down on the shore and prayed. And we had taken our leave of one another. We boarded the ship and they returned home. And so here is a good example, Paul, with Christians. Yes, they prayed to God. Staying at Ptolemais one day with the brethren, according to Acts 21 and 7, arriving at Caesarea, where they stayed many days, in Acts 21, verses 8 through 11. And on the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea, entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And so we see that Agabus foretold what was going to happen to Paul when he went to Jerusalem, how that he would be bound and delivered to the Gentiles. Paul is determined, though, that he's going to go to Jerusalem no matter what. In Acts 21, verses 12 through 17, "Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, 'What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' And so when he had not been persuaded, but we ceased, saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.' And after those days we packed and went up to Jerusalem. Also some of the disciples from Caesarea went up with us, and brought with them a certain Manson of Cyprus, an early disciple, with whom we were to lodge. And when we came to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly." And so here they traveled to Jerusalem and they received Paul gladly. In conclusion, Paul arrives in Jerusalem. It must have been with mixed emotions. He took the contribution for the needy saints to Jerusalem. He had intentions of going to Rome and then to Spain. He was looking forward to that. And later on, he did travel to Rome. He knew that chains awaited him in Jerusalem. He didn't know if he'd be killed or not. Paul could consider his third missionary journey a success. Yes, he'd strengthened many churches. He wrote letters to the Galatians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and the Romans. And many lost souls were saved by the teaching, the preaching of the Apostle Paul. And so he would go into the Jewish synagogues and preach for months at a time. The school of Tyrannus, he taught for 2 years. Every opportunity he had, he studied with people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so on this third missionary journey, he traveled about 2,800 to 3,000 miles. And many souls, I'm sure, were saved and churches were strengthened. And certainly he is a good example for us. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves you. He gave his son to die on the cross for your sins. He's provided the plan of salvation. To become a Christian, you must hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing God's word. The word of God tells us what we must do to be saved and how we're to serve God. Then you must believe and have faith in God. Believe that he is. You must repent, turn away from your sins to God. Make the good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then be baptized to wash away your sins. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." And so if you're here and you need to obey the gospel, now would be a great opportunity, time for you to come and obey the gospel, be baptized into Christ and put on Christ, and the Lord will add you to his church, and be faithful, and heaven will be your home. And so if you're in any way subject to the gospel call, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song.